Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And it is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, toyotaofhollywood.com.
All right, Woody, thank you so much. Alex Dono back from a great vacation, well-deserved, Locked On Canes ACC, and Canes podcast does a great job. We'll be up at the ACC meetings on Tuesday where the Miami Hurricanes will be up there, Mario Cristobal. And help me out here. Beck, Maui Noah, who else will be up there?
Ooh, I was just looking at the list the other day. I want to say Wesley Bissaint, and then, who are we missing?
Bain's got to be up
there. No. Bain is not going because he has another, he had a prior commitment. That's the guy you would want to send, but he has a legitimate reason for not being able to go.
Look at you. Well, listen, for you, expectations don't change this year. I know Cam Ward's gone and everybody's, Cam Ward's gone. Carson Beck, I think Carson Beck's got a chip on his shoulder. And I know he missed spring and I know the breakup with the girl. I think he's all about business and kicking ass. That guy's been through. He's been in the hot seat, man. Georgia is a hot seat. I can't wait to see what he looks like.
Yeah, and this is going to be the first time I'm going to meet him and hopefully talk to him in person. It's going to be at the ACC meetings next week when I'm out there. But as far as, you know, what the buzz has been on Beck, you know, you mentioned was not cleared to throw during spring football. You know, I did watch him practice. I mean, as much as you can practice as a quarterback without throwing, he was out there doing certain drills and staying active with his teammates. But yeah, since at some point, I think late April, early May, he has been out there throwing. And the feedback has been good, Joe. I mean, the buzz that, you know, you hear coming from people that have actually, you know, watched him out there and taken in some of these super secret offseason workouts is that the arm looks good and that he doesn't have any sort of physical limitations and that he's, Joe, been kind of going through the progressions these last couple of months where they sort of started him off slow. You know, he wasn't necessarily pulling out the full fastball and throwing deep stuff right away, but he's eased himself into that and he's cleared every benchmark. So you don't worry about the physical stuff with him. And like you mentioned, in terms of all the rest of it, the intangibles that come with that quarterback position, this is a guy who has a 24-3 record as a starting quarterback at Georgia, has played in some of the biggest games, some of the biggest rivalries in a marquee SEC program. Yeah, the stage is not going to be too big for Carson Beck here. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Hey, so positions you feel better about this year than last year? In general, offensive line, better this year with what they have at starting five plus a couple of guys for added depth?
Yeah, just as good, if not better. I mean, obviously the notable loss from last year was Jalen Rivers, you know, who was just an absolute stalwart for, you know, what, the previous four seasons on that O-line. But, you know, replacing him full-time is Markell Bell, who's just, he's a behemoth, Joe, and he got a lot of valuable experience last year at left tackle. And I know the staff feels really good about him at left tackle. So, you know, he might end up being just as good as Jalen was, and maybe some even higher upside for the future of his career. You know, we feel pretty good about the new center, James Brockermeyer, who transferred in from TCU. I think they like him a lot. And then, yeah, outside of that, you know, you've got, you know, Ryan Rodriguez and Matthew McCoy competing for the left guard spot, which is kind of similar to where we were last year, and that spot ended up performing very well. And then on the right side of the O-line, Joe, you're in tremendous shape with Inez Cooper and CeCe Mauinoa. Mauinoa is probably going to be a first-round pick coming up, so you feel great about the offensive line. In terms of, you know, position groups, I think are going to be better than last year. I would think the defensive secondary has got to be better last year.
Yeah,
it's got to be. I mean, you've got O.J. Frederick back, who was, you know, the best corner you had last year as a true freshman. He's going to be here for his second year. You bring in Xavier Lucas from Wisconsin, who you created all this controversy, and I think he's going to be worth it because they like him a lot on the field. I think a guy who's going to be kind of a sleeper in that secondary, who everyone feels really good about, sort of low-key, is Zechariah Poyser, Joe, the safety who they brought in from Jacksonville State. I think they really expect him to perform this year, so I'll take that as a good sign. I like some of the, you know, the additions that they made at linebacker. I think the player that they brought in from Rutgers, Mohamed Touré, you know, he missed the entire season last year with a torn ACL, but physically it seems like he's fine. He's completely back on track, and he's just a game-changing type of player, Joe. Disruptor, sideline to sideline, you know, he's good at forcing turnovers and making big tackles and tackles for loss. You know, he was really good, you know, with Corey Heatherman, who's now Miami's defensive coordinator. That was his linebackers coach a couple of years ago at Rutgers, last time he got through a healthy season. So I think the linebacker group could be a little bit better than last year. And so, you know, if you could do that, if you could bring your linebacker group and your defensive secondary up to a higher standard than it was a year ago, I've got to think that's going to make your defense dramatically better, because we all know the defense was the Achilles heel last year.
Hey, so – let's talk about wide receiver, man. You lost everybody. Well, you lost all your top receivers. So who takes over for Restrepo and George to start with? Where do we go from there?
Yeah, I think the stat is at least five, if not six, of I think like maybe six out of Miami's seven top pass catchers were lost from last year.
Yeah, wow.
You're replacing almost all of your production in the passing game, including tight end with Elijah Arroyo, going to the NFL. I think I'll mention a couple of guys. You ask about wide receivers. I mean, in the slot, I think it's going to be a committee. I don't think you necessarily replace Xavier Restrepo with one guy, but I think Miami's got a few options there. Tony Johnson, who transferred in from Cincinnati, was a pretty reliable slot receiver for the last couple of years. I've got to think Malachi Toney is going to play quite a bit. You know, I know you're very high on him, as I am. He's a true freshman, but he was a consistent performer in spring football, and he performed very well in the spring game. It seems to me like Malachi Toney, even if he doesn't start his first season, I think he's going to get on the field a lot. You've got Ray Joseph at the slot entering his third year. You know, opportunities were scarce for him because he was playing behind Restrepo for the last couple of seasons, but he's going to get more opportunities this year. And in terms of, you know, guys out wide, JoJo Trader looks like he's ready to really take the next step. You know, didn't play a lot last year. I think he was banged up a little bit last year. And then also, of course, was playing behind so many established receivers. He got a big opportunity in the bowl game, and he played very well there. So I think Trader's going to be a guy they're going to look to step up. You know, someone who's getting rave reviews, and I had a chance to meet this player during spring football. He's extremely mature and a leader in that room, is C.J. Daniels, who transferred over from LSU. He's a six-year senior, and he acts like it. He carries himself like it. And he's also got some good ability on the field. And so, and then a tight end, I've got to mention Elijah Lofton he's got to have every opportunity to really replace a lot of that production from Elijah Arroyo. And they also like the tight end who transferred over from Tulane, Alex Bowman, is someone I think has kind of outperformed the staff's expectations so far in spring football and offseason workouts. So it's going to be a lot of new faces, and they've got to get on the same page with Carson Beck really quickly.
I'd really like to see a big pass rush without blitzing all the time. And I'm really curious to see how this group plays. I think Reuben Bain is Reuben Bain and will be fine. But I'm curious to see, you probably are too, with the rest of this group, where are you getting your pressure from? Who else steps up? Mezzador, Hayden Lowe, Blunt. I mean, there's some guys in there. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, and as far as the interior guys go, getting pressure from there as well, I think we should all be excited about Justin Scott and the potential that he's going to bring. I think he's going to play a lot this year, if not start. You know, those who remember Scott was Miami's five-star, one of Miami's five-star recruits from the class of 2024, who's, you know, played a little bit as a freshman last year, but I think he's going to play a lot more this year. And then, you know, all the names you mentioned, Joe, off the edge are definitely guys they are expecting to create consistent pressure. Another one that I'll add, who, you know, I know he didn't get on the field a whole lot last year because he was just a little bit light as a true freshman, but Marquise Lightfoot, I keep hearing about how well he's been performing. So, you know, Lightfoot, who again was a little small coming out of high school last year, but he was a five-star recruit. So the ability is there. It's just been about, I think, putting more meat on the bones consistently for him.
Yeah.
And so Lightfoot is another one. I keep hearing how well he's doing. So he could end up being another one who gets a lot of burn from the edge.
All right, ACC questions besides Clemson. And they should, every year, should be favored. What they did without transfer portal players last year, coming back and winning the ACC was really impressive. So who's the teams you like? If not Miami, who makes a run for an ACC championship?
Yeah, I mean, the pretty clear picks for me, like you said, outside of Clemson and Miami, who are the top two according to the odds makers, I'm pretty high on Louisville this year, Joe. You know, it's not a team without warts, you know, because Louisville is always hard to kind of handicap because they use the transfer portal. People think Miami uses the transfer portal a lot. Louisville has so much roster turnover every single year. It's hard to know what you're going to get, but they've got a coach who's a quarterback whisperer, and they've got another talented one in Miller Moss coming in this year. People kind of expect Jeff Brohm to work some magic with him. He's got a lot of talent. And they've got one of the best running back duos in the entire country with Isaac Brown leading that charge. So, yeah. They had some similar problems to Miami last year, and their defense was really inconsistent. Remember, Miami scored like 100 points against Louisville in a shootout last year, although Miami did that to a lot of different teams. But
yeah.
I think Louisville's going to be in there. That's a team that can compete. And SMU, you know, they did lose some important players from last year, but they still have their quarterback who burst onto the scene last year in Kevin Jennings, who's going to have his first full year as a starter. And, you know, they do have a little bit of a tougher schedule, SMU, than they had last year, you know, which could hurt them a little bit. But I don't see any reason why SMU won't compete for an ACC championship again. Miami does play them in Dallas this year, so we're going to get that head-to-head Rhett Lashley versus Mario Cristobal opportunity. And so those are the main two. But another one, I'm never sleeping on Georgia Tech, Joe, because I think, Georgia Tech is, you
know,
Miami knows this. We've lost to them the last couple of years. But I always feel like Georgia Tech, I don't think they have much roster depth necessarily, but Brent Key, their head coach, game plans so well. They always seem to be ready for every team they play. I mean, heck, they took Georgia to 8 overtimes last year.
Yeah.
They almost pulled off an upset against UGA. They've got their quarterback, Haynes King, who's got to be like 25 by now, but somehow he's got another year of eligibility. So Georgia Tech is kind of the fifth one that I would put in there that would maybe have a chance to contend.
All right, I'll leave you with this one. Carson Beck's a starter. Who ends up being the backup? I know a lot of people are hoping Luke Nickell would come in and tear it up and make such great improvement. He was going to be the guy because at some point it would be nice to have a guy you recruit out of high school be a starter. Emory Williams, who do you think gets a backup job?
I think Emory Williams gets it. Now, like you, Joe, there were plenty of times spring football, especially the last couple of weeks, because, you know, Luke was an early enrollee, true freshman. So I think eventually the game started to slow down for him a little bit. He looked really good by the end of spring ball. But I think they really want a redshirt Luke Nickell for obvious reasons. And, of course, when you talk about a backup, right, for however often, you know, hopefully you don't need your backup very much this year outside of mop-up duty, right? But I think Emory Williams is the guy based on his experience. This will be his, you know, third year at Miami. I think Emory's going to be the guy they're going to look at to be that true backup quarterback. But, you know, God forbid you would need to actually use a second quarterback for, you know, multiple games this year.
Yeah.
I could see a scenario where Luke maybe ends up being the guy who's got more upside to win you games. But in terms of, like, you know, your understudy, I think Emory Williams is going to be the backup quarterback this year.
You know what hurt the quarterback position the most last year? Cam Ward had to finish out every game to either win or come back and win or barely lose in a last drive. Backup quarterbacks got no playing time at all last year for the most part, right?
Point.
Never in those games.
Yeah.
And I just thought it really affected the growth of Emery Williams, who a lot of Canes fans have already given up on because of what happened in the bowl game. But, we need to – I just think you keep recruiting these guys. One of them's got to start at some point. One of them's got to be your guy, and you see enough to say that's our guy, and here we go. Anyway, hey, great stuff today as always, man. Really appreciate you coming on with us, Donald. Always great having you. Where'd you go on that vacation, if you don't mind me getting into your business?
Oh, Joe, I went everywhere. I'm so broke. It's not even funny. We went, we started off in France. I think I might have even been there for a couple days when you were still there. So I'm sorry I didn't find you, Joe. But we started
don't
off.
Don't worry, my
in,
wife
in
did
Paris.
A number on that credit card herself. She just doesn't want to hear about it.
We started off, or slow down.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were in Paris to start out. We were gone for like 41 days, Joe. Most of it we were in Italy.
Wow.
I've got family in northern Italy, so we had a place to stay for part of the trip, which helped. It helped the credit card bills a little bit. But we were outside of, Paris. We were in Milan, we were in Venice, we were in Bologna, we went over to couple of like small towns, we went over to Greece, to Crete for about a week, which was interesting. A lot of history over there.
Did you get after the food? Tell me you didn't hold back, like there was a new dessert you didn't go, nah, I'm not gonna. You got after it, right? Didn't you?
I stepped on the scale when I came back home and I nearly broke it. I think I gained like 8 pounds in 40 days, Joe. It was bad. I was so much pasta, so much bread. And I know a lot of people, and it's true, when you're over in Europe, you walk a lot, right? So a lot of people say, hey, don't worry about it. You're not gonna gain weight because you're walking so much. I showed them, Joe, because I ate so much that the walking did not compensate very much.
Yeah, whatever you were burning on steps, it just can't keep up with that great food. I got you, man. Hey, Donald, thank you, man. Appreciate it. I'm glad you had a good vacation. Obviously, it's good for the marriage. Let's be honest. Very good for the marriage. You got to take one for the team. It was great work by you.
It's true, thank you, Joe. Bud. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, Alex Donald joining us. Talk a little bit about the Canes. He's all jacked up and ready to go. We did a little breakdown. My God, did we do a little breakdown. Hey, I want to talk to you about Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage. Oh, my gosh, man. Right now you're looking for a mortgage. You want to get a mortgage. Let's be honest. You want it fast. You want to get the best rates, and you want to get approved quickly, and that's what Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage does like nobody's business. First-time home buyers, how nice would it be for you to get back in the game instead of always losing out because you didn't get qualified and found a place and going, nah, we don't want first-time home buyers. How about getting a pre-approved with Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage with the best rates, so the next time you find something you like, you're in. You got it. Fixed rates, always going to get the best rates. Self-employed, been declined by the banks. Michael Kotze's got a great program for you. Go to Google Reviews on the web, Choice Mortgage Reviews. People are saying a lot of nice things about him. See, Michael Kotze's been around for, 35, 36 years now. He has no life. The guy's always working, and that's true. 7 days a week, call or text him. You can get a hold of this man, and he'll make it happen. 561-441-2730. There's a reason. He's been doing it and doing it well down here in South Florida for so long. 561-441-2730, MLS 166-254. Rates and terms subject to change. Either without notice, he's an equal housing lender.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
All right, welcome back, and good morning to everybody here. And great to be back and have a chance to, man, just all these things going on here and reading about stuff going on and waiting to see. Dolphins still got a few things left to do before camp starts officially, where all the veterans report. It'd just be really nice if there was no holdout drama or just there, but only for certain drills. We've seen that the last few years. It would just be nice if it was just every day was all football, not how the young guys are doing, how they're playing instead of who's not here or who can't practice or who won't practice. And it's just this team needs to be drama-free right from the start. Coach doesn't have to get fired up about anything except talking about a new offense and using all his coaches to get better and figure out how to run it better, throw it better, and all the other questions we all want to see. We want to see if the offensive line is deep enough. We want to see if we have enough cover corners. I had a nice talk with Ethan Bonner, who's one of the guys that now, like a lot of guys, been great in camp, got to play a lot in preseason, and the season rolls around, and they go to veteran players. And he knows there's going to be a chance for some guys to start and show what they can do. And he's one of those guys. So I don't know about you. I'm kind of looking forward to it. I want to see all the young guys, find out who can play. Let's expose it. If Cam Smith can't play with all young guys and he's not good enough, then there's no reason to keep him. Seriously, there's no reason to keep him for a third year. Cater's going to be around. Jason Marshall's going to be around. There's no question about it. Storm Duck's going to be around. Ethan Bonner, Artie Burns. There's a list of other guys. But if Cam Smith can't start or is in a dogfight, he should just be a starter. We should be talking about Cam Smith, the starter, for a second year, even if he didn't start his first year, just full-time starter. And it hasn't happened. But he'll get another chance. The great part of this, for a lot of guys, man, there's a lot of guys coming back that will finally get a chance. No excuses. We'll get a chance to play. A lot of young guys will get a chance to play. And obviously, Minka Fitzpatrick will play at one of those safety positions. And then we'll see what happens with the guys on the other side and how they play. Ifeatu Melifamu, and see how he looks. I think he'll start with Minka. And then the other guys will start to fit in somewhere, and we'll see. Hey, they don't have to do a lot, those two guys, for the production we got from our starting safeties a year ago. We just didn't get that much. We didn't. No interceptions. One forced fumble, a big one, in the first game against Jacksonville. But that was it. Nothing else. So I figure, hell, what the hell? Let's go with those guys. I don't want veteran guy came down here for one more year, didn't make a lot of plays, didn't even tackle that well. So here we go. And then all these young guys. Man, what a great opportunity. If you were drafted defensive lineman, you got a chance to play a lot of football. Forget starting, rotation, big guys rotate a lot. You get to play a lot. And then goes on and on from there, and we'll see what happens and who they try to bring in and all those type of things. As far as the other stuff, running backs, we got plenty at running back. We don't need any more running backs. We're good there. We're good at wide receiver. I think with Malik and Nick as the two backup guys, we're fine. Whoever's going to be the third guy, we're fine. With Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle. I'm guessing both guys are on a mission to be better than 744 yards and 959 yards, because that's what Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle were after leading the league in combination yards 2 years previous, both years.
Joe, I don't know if you know this, and I don't remember if we discussed this with you before you left or not, but Tyreek Hill's yardage total on the Hard Rock app is 975.5.
I mean, the
only way that doesn't happen is if he gets, like, severely hurt, right?
Even if the backup quarterback's throwing to him. He didn't get hurt, yeah. No, all that stuff comes into play when that. I'm going over on that.
Right? I mean,
I just.
It seems very low.
I think he's going to be on a mission of missions because he realizes if he doesn't play well, this will be the last year that he makes the big bucks. there will be a downsize in dollars after this. And I think that motivates him pretty good. Plus, the guy loves being great. He loved being the number one guy in the NFL. That was a big thing to him. And being off that list completely is not something that he's excited about.
By the way, someone helped us out earlier. You know, you asked what crazy things Omar said. He said that there won't be any drop-off at the tight end position, that Darren Waller will be as good as Jonnu Smith.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know if they're old friends or whatever.
I don't know how he could say that.
He did. It was true.
Jonnu Smith was really good.
I know. Oh, I know.
And the other guy was out of football. Now, if he got his love for the game back at age 33, that's great.
Got his joy back.
That's great.
We know about that.
Listen, there's no question Frank Smith was behind this, and once they found out he wanted to come back, he was a freak at one point in his career. He was athletically, but...
As we found out when you were gone, that was like 5 years ago when he had his big season, so...
Yes, we did bring that
up. That's a lot of years in
his
in
good
NFL
years with
years.
Frank Smith, right. So... Yeah, but
anyway, that was one of his hot takes. I just thought I'd throw.
You don't have to like defend getting rid of Jonnu Smith. If you like it, great. But don't say the guy wasn't really good, and don't say we couldn't use Jonnu Smith.
He didn't say he wasn't really good. He just said that Waller, there wouldn't be any drop off. That Waller will be that good.
Okay, we'll see. I hope so. Got to get through camp. Got to make sure you still love it. You'll find out in camp if you still love it. I know it's not two-a-days. Where you the truth would come out in our old practices, but we'll see.
Somebody,
I hope so. I hope he's good. I hope he plays.
Somebody was asking about, speaking of if he plays, someone was asking about Quinn Ewers. No scenario he plays, right? I mean, unless things
he's not going to be the backup.
Things just absolutely derail.
He's not going to be the backup. Even if Tua goes down, then he becomes a backup, but he will not go to a starter. He is not going to move ahead of Wilson. It's not going to happen.
You're saying that with a lot of conviction.
I've been saying that since they signed him. $6 million a year. And Mike loved him coming out when he was in San Francisco, and they took the wrong, you know, they took a guy, didn't work out. He knows him. I can't wait to see him throw it. I'm really looking forward to watching him throw in camp and see. I'm going to see if he can throw it in this system. The system, which is kind of made up for Tua, a lot of anticipation throws. I want to see how he does. But Hewer's not moving ahead of Wilson. No way. No shot.
Well, that's what we have camp for.
I don't think they do enough in camp for Hewer's to move ahead of Wilson.
It's that easy out there? We can't even have a competition?
Oh, they're going to play a lot. Both those guys will play a lot in what, three games you have now?
Well, yeah, and Ewers is going to get to play the fifth string guys on these teams in preseason. So,
right. Do people think Quint Ewers is going to be the backup quarterback?
I think people think there is a chance that he could be good. I think people look at like
maybe
a Brock
down the road,
Purdy.
But he's
yeah,
not coming
I think people
in.
See like Brock Purdy and they go, well, you know, maybe it's possible.
All right, that's not going to happen. Not going to happen here in this system. I don't think Mike's system's very easy to learn, number one. But if I'm those guys, man, I'm staying ready because of the history of Tua, 11 games last year. I'm getting myself ready. Hey, Tua, nothing against you, brother. Hope you can do it, but if you can't, I'm not blowing my chance. I play well. My value's going back up. That's what our backup quarterback's thinking. My value is going up if you go down. Because I'm taking your weapons, and damn, I'm going to show everybody I can play. I'm going to show it was a Jets problem, not a me problem.
Wouldn't be the first guy drafted by the Jets show it was a Jets problem,
yeah.
Too, man. The other guy, Sam Darnold, went and played his ass off last year.
He did. He got paid. We had a couple guys make nice little comebacks in their careers. Quarterback position, man, is just wild. What we just went through with Aaron Rodgers. And even the Cleveland Browns whole thing is just every year. We'll have more teams looking for a quarterback after this. Anyway.
Well, I guess Pittsburgh is theoretically right because Aaron Rodgers said he's done.
Aaron Rodgers and his wife.
He's going away.
Nobody's seen him said, yeah. Does anybody really believe he's disappearing?
No.
So far, he's been on ESPN. He was on that show and on the golf tournament. He let him talk to him. So,
your theory about the wife is fantastic. I hope that's the truth.
I just think it's weird that you have a new wife, no matter how. Listen, Tua, nobody's more private about his wife than Tua. And finally, they got caught at the courthouse, right? Finally. They're going down there. She's pregnant. They're going down.
So we know she exists, at least, yes.
Yes. So, hey, all right.
We don't have any physical confirmation that Aaron Rodgers' wife exists.
You don't think it's weird that if you got a wife, you're going to go out at some point, go somewhere where somebody's going to see your wife?
Well, they must have a marriage certificate somewhere, right?
I understand she's private. My wife's private.
But she exists.
I get it.
I've seen her.
Yes.
Took many, many years, but I have seen
her. No. She's gotten a little better, but yeah. she's an introvert. She's
but
okay.
She does exist. We can confirm that.
But she doesn't need to be out there. No.
This thing is real, and she's made up.
Oh, let me tell you. He's scorched. Even his best friends are going, dude, what the hell did you just do to all this? What was that? Like, where is she hiding? Like, your husband's a starting quarterback and going to be a Hall of Famer. Everybody's
going to
see your wife.
Right?
You got to go out somewhere to a nice restaurant with her. Hey, anniversary, you want to stay home or you want to go out? Oh, we'll just stay home. I'll throw a couple of dogs on again. You sure you don't want to get out of the house for the first time in 4 years? Come on, man.
Holding her hostage. Should it come out like those other women he dated?
I think it's weird that nobody has seen her. I do love the best one is don't ask my family. I haven't talked to them in years.
Yeah.
What was wrong with him, man? Why is it a big deal if somebody sees his wife? They're not going to talk to her. It's weird. Just thinking about it. Just weird.
One day we'll meet her. One day.
Then I saw, you know, he has a Aaron Rodgers. Some lady goes to the tournament up in Tahoe, and he calls her grandma. That's his grandmother. He calls her Tahoe grandma. And I was like, dude, why don't you get to know your own grandmothers a little bit? Well, you got to have somebody else's grandmother. Why don't you spend a little time, go up there a couple hours away from Tahoe. They'd love to see you up there.
Someone said conspiracy theory Mondays.
Yeah.
It's not really conspiracy because we've actually, as far as I know, have not seen her. And I trust you because you follow the Aaron Rodgers drama very closely.
I do.
I don't think she's surfaced.
I think he's very good for business. I do. I think he's very talented. And I think he's just, anytime he gets interviewed, he's liable to say something and you go, oh, I forgot he's the smartest man in the world. And that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Someone
All right,
asked,
I want to tell you about it.
Someone asked who the college player was who was caught catfishing himself. That was Manti Te'o, who's made a nice career for himself on television.
Hey, he's bounced back with a little personality on that.
Yeah.
He's good. Yeah, not bad at all.
It shows you can survive just about anything, right?
Hey, listen, nobody's made more money than Aaron Rodgers, a quarterback. He's done just fine for himself.
Yeah, he'll survive the fake wife thing.
You really believe he's going to disappear and nobody's going to see him?
No.
He says, of course not. That ego did not just die with the last touchdown pass. It will stay alive. Atlantic Men's Clinic stays alive. ED and low T. Hey, guys, man, I want to talk to you about my problems. Yeah, I had a bad. Low T and ED, it was terrible. Full blown. Tired. No energy. No sex drive. It was bad across the board. And I went to Atlantic Men's Clinic, and I'm glad I did. Learned more about ED and low T. Found out that every man will have it sooner or later and got it taken care of. That's the best part of my story is I went to Atlantic Men's Clinic. This is what they do. 7 locations in South Florida. Set up that first appointment if you're going through it right now. Because if you're not active and you're still eating the same amount, you're gaining weight. Let's just start with that and go from there. As you're going, I'm getting older. I got a little belly. It's okay. All right. If you're fine with that. But 7 locations. Great results. Set up that first appointment. It will make a big difference like it did for me. It will do for you. 877-455-7300. The first appointment. Set it up, man. The PSA test. You'll meet with their professionals. They'll explain everything and put you on a program that will get you great results quickly. Call him today, 877-455-7300, or visit AtlanticMensClinic.com.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back, and good morning. Hey, got to take a second here to congratulate Kyle Stowers, Marlins representative for the All-Star Game tomorrow. Home Run Derby, of course, is tonight. And Kyle Stowers had himself quite a game. 3 home runs, 5 hits, and 6 RBI, an 11-1 win. The Marlins, you talk about taking advantage of kind of a dead time. 19 wins and 10 losses in the last month, between June 13th and July 13th. How about that? 19 and 10 with this group. So it's working. Find out they do have some young talent, and got to get some more. And then this Messi story is pretty cool, because I got to give it to him. He could just show up and wave and kind of, you know, just be everybody look at him and go, look at him. He's not like he used to be, but that's Messi, the greatest player of all time. That dude still wants to be, and I know it's the MLS. I know that. That guy scoring a couple of goals, what, 5 straight games now? Is unbelievable. What he has done, I'm guessing worth every dime, not to mention the value of the franchise going up over $1 billion for the Moss brothers and other partners, David Beckham and the gang. He's been great. And the fact that he still cares and still wants to be known as the best player in this league really says a lot. And I know he's expensive. I'm not exactly sure how Inter Miami is able to pay him all that money when you consider most of the payrolls in the MLS are like a third of what he makes.
They worked it out.
Whatever it is, man, it's good to have him here.
Yeah, they worked it out.
And by the way, he's been great. Kids love him. He seems like a class act. He really does. Guys on the team love being around him. His former teammates, who he's been with since he's in his early 20s, love playing with him. You still see their relationship.
You are right about the kids, by the way. Kids are nuts for Messi, man.
Probably by himself.
They love him.
Probably by himself in this town.
He is probably, yes, with the kids, he is the most popular athlete in this town.
Yes.
No question.
I had to think about my grandkids. Yes, he is. Not even close.
They all have Messi jerseys and, you know, Adidas gear and all that stuff, man.
So he's got 40s coming up here right around the corner. He's going to sign. He's going to keep going. Looks like he's having a blast. His ego's all right. I don't have to be on one of the top 10 clubs in the world anymore. I've done that, been on those, won the national stuff, you know, won the World Cup. I got that off the list. You can put me wherever you want. And more importantly, I think his wife and those young kids, by the way, the little juniors look like they're going to be damn good too. They kick it like their father. But yeah, he seems happy down here, man. This is he's always talked about liking it. So he keeps playing right in to that new stadium that they're building, which, by the way, will be on time and under budget because the Moss family's doing the work.
I was shocked. I told you I drove by that thing. They're making progress on the thing. It's unbelievable.
Do you see how quickly they put up that Fort Lauderdale Stadium?
Yeah.
Remember that thing? One day it was a bunch of weeds.
Yeah, that thing was a big pile of dust over there, and I drove by the other day, and they're making progress.
Yeah.
It was pretty impressive.
Your owners are pretty motivated to get that thing done and getting their own facility down in Dade County and go. And they want Messi, obviously, to be part of this. Hell, he might be with this team for a long time.
Like, got to at least be there when they open up the new stadium.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That's got to be. Yeah.
And he's made everybody, they've all made a lot of money. I could not believe this thing valued at over $1 billion. Did that surprise you?
Not really, because I know the amount of stuff that he's able to sell and merchandising and tickets and all that stuff. I think that's clearly driven their business to a new level.
He's just used to playing in like some of the biggest games in the world, right? He's been on those, Barcelona, even PSG, where it didn't go great for him.
But like, this would be the equivalent of like Michael Jordan going and playing in like, I don't know, one of those overseas leagues.
I don't know, but listen, man. He
right? I mean, it's kind of the same thing.
He still wants to be great. Like, they lost all those games, and he didn't go, oh, well. No, he, like, hey, guys, get ready. Get on my back. I'm going to stay healthy. We're going to play. We're going to win this thing. Hey, Mike, there's a good chance we can win the MLS this year. So, anyway, what a story, man. Five straight games, two goals. Great story. And just goes about his business. Occasionally we see a picture with David Beckham at dinner sometimes or something, but that's it. That's the best we can do is Messi and his wife out for dinner. He's a role model, and he gets it, man. Who would be number two in jerseys in this town?
Wow, that's a good one. I guess Tua.
I'm with you, by the way. Messi is clearly number one.
Yeah, well, that's because the kids, you know, the people that are buying jerseys are buying.
Who'd be number two?
Tua, I would think. Still.
Yeah.
Well, it's not anyone on the Heat.
No.
No offense, you know, Matt, by that, but.
No, you kind of go through it. And
Panthers got some good jerseys, but, you know. Can't wear those. You can't wear those jerseys
Kachuk?
Outside in Florida, though, man.
Well, who's the number one jersey for the Panthers? I don't even know.
I don't know.
Good luck.
Probably Kachuk
probably.
I would think.
Yeah,
he's a face
Kachuk.
Of American hockey.
Yeah. You're right.
Hey, real quick, just to backtrack on something. You were talking about names. What's up with the Home Run Derby tonight?
What do you mean?
Did all the big names just decide we're out?
Well, they got.
Did you see the list of names on this thing?
No, I didn't. Who do you have?
You got Cal Raleigh, O'Neal Cruz, James Wood, Byron Buxton, Matt Olson, Junior Caminero, Brent Rooker, and Jazz Chisholm.
Yeah, we got the wrong Yankee for sure. Nothing against
Jazz.
Yeah,
I don't know what happened to the other guys this year.
Yeah, that's weird. So
Jazz Chisholm, by the way, is the biggest underdog. At
you've heard the theory on this before, right? There have been guys, I'm sure you know this one, I'm going to say it anyway, but mm-hmm. A lot of guys, because you swing so many times at that thing, have claimed the second half, they never get it back from mm-hmm. that home run swing and over swinging, so a lot of guys stay away from it. They do it once, and then, hey, I'm done. Some guys love it. Some guys love it. That catcher. For Seattle.
But this is like the dunk contest, though. Like, you got to get your best players to do these things or no one's going to watch.
I agree.
Know? By the way, Ohtani started pitching again. Were you upset about that?
No,
the talk of California there?
102 miles an hour against the Giants the other day. It went like 98, 99, 102.
Yeah, he's great. I mean, I know you were upset about him pitching.
I don't care. He's only going 2-3 innings.
Okay.
He is.
What's the talk games. Of the town up there, by the way? Like, which baseball team are people talking? Are they talking Dodgers mostly?
Everything's Dodgers.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What about the Lakers? Are they talking about LeBron getting traded up there? Has that been the talk up there, too?
No.
Did you see those rumors?
Yeah.
Like, what are they doing?
I don't know, but Windhorse better be careful because LeBron will start ripping him some more.
Hey, that feud's gotten nasty, huh?
Yeah, what happened from the guy that used to be his guy? And, hey, Brian, you remember when I tell these guys when I was in high school. And
I feel like LeBron just probably, like, tolerated him all those years. Like, he probably didn't like him, right? Like, they didn't seem like they'd be buddies.
I don't think, you know, one of our media guys tried to get close, and one of LeBron James' guy said, hey, and LeBron was kind of being nice to this guy. He said, hey, man, I'm just going to tell you, LeBron James doesn't let anybody in his circle.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget when he told me that because we were all kind of.
Wait, was that you that was trying to work their way in?
I tried, but it didn't work. I mean, he was nice to me, but it didn't work. No, man. When you're doing TV and you're at all those games, you're like, you know, I had a great run, man, with Shaq and D. Mm-hmm. Wade. We're great during the celebration. And
you want to be like Jim Gray and do the next decision.
I don't want to do that.
We had the anniversary of that, by the way, while you were gone.
We did?
Yeah, the decision played that.
Well, listen, we've got 9 o'clock hour coming up. Time is flying today. My God, it is flying. Rookies, veterans, home run derby, all-star game. We got it all rolling here right now. A lot of good stuff. So anyway, we'll take a quick break. Back for 9 o'clock hour right after this.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.